on quite a walk with Jesus over the past few months, and we have been learning a great deal about who Jesus is and what he came to earth to do. We have covered a lot of subject matter over that journey in this walk from Nazareth to Jerusalem where we had our last visit. Just last week, we worked through a very hard saying of Jesus. And in this saying of Jesus, we dealt with the subject matter of election and predestination. So, and if you need to look that up, you can go to our website, and you can always look at the audio, or listen to the audio or the video as well. But tonight, I want to pull into kind of a rest stop on this walk with Jesus. I want to take a break, pull into the rest stop, and I want to look at some life skills that I believe, when mastered, will make us as a church family stronger and even more ready to pull back out of the rest stop and head down the road on our journey with Jesus. So I thought the best way to begin our study, which will be from the book of Proverbs, by the way, book of truths, the best way to start is with a little game, right? Don't we like a good game show? I love a good game show. I want to get my buddy Jake down here to help me. Come on, buddy. Look, he got his wish. He's changing. He's up on his feet more. This is beautiful. How's that hand doing? Getting better?
Yeah, it's all closed up now.
Oh, beautiful. He cut his hand really bad with a razor. Not the phone, the knife. Yes. Now, here's what your job is going to be. I think you know this drill.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him questions, right? Whoever is the first one to raise their hand, that's the one you got to identify, and they're going to get a shot at it. But some of them are tough. I've set up kind of like a civil service test.
Yeah.
And so you got to remember the second person, and then the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, right down to about 10. All right, and then at that point, you and I get the candy bar. They don't even get it. All right, and then when they get mad, I just blame you, right, that you got it wrong. So that's what we're going to do. So the game I want to talk about tonight is called Healthy Habits. This is the Healthy Habits game, and I got all these right off of the best medical journals, dental journals. I went and got these information. So I'm going to put these answers up. Let's take a look at these answers. These are the possible answers, okay? Let's go to the next. Not those. Okay, that's right. Mr. Roberts doesn't do computer a lot at Westbridge, but we thank him for looking through. Good. Here it is. Proper dental hygiene includes brushing one's teeth 60 seconds, 90 seconds, 1 minute 45 seconds, or 120 seconds.
Johnny was the first one.
Johnny's the first one. He knows dental hygiene?
I guess.
Okay, let's find out. Johnny, where are you? What's your answer?
120 seconds.
Bing, 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 bing. It is a full 2 minutes. It is a full 2 minutes. Jake, would you be so kind as to hand that to him? That's the winning prize. I told you I was addicted to bad food. There it is. Hand it out. All right, Mr. Mike, so if you get one, split it with me. It's only half the calories. All right. Well, very good. Yeah, two minutes of brushing your teeth. They say not many people do a full 2 minutes. They want, like, you actually set a timer, and that'll be a healthy habit. Scrub your teeth for 2 minutes all around, especially the gum line. So a little help here from Westbridge, okay? Give you a healthy smile. All right, next one. Let's see. You can put the possible answers up there, Mr. Robert. The American Medical Association has stated a person needs this many hours of sleep. Like I said, this one is definitely set up like a civil service test. You got to try to decipher this answer. Okay, is it 8 hours? 7 to 10 hours. 9 to 10 hours, or 8 to 9 hours? Who was it, Jake?
Gentleman in blue polo.
Oh, blue polo. All right, go ahead. I'll give you a try. I know this is not easy. Let's see if he gets it right.
8 hours.
But that was a good answer. I would have went for that. Who was next, Jake? Oh, Mr. Chris.
7 to 10 hours.
Bing, 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 bing. It's 7 to 10 hours. Some people only need 7. Yeah. Jake, would you like to pick out something for Mr. Chris? All right. They say Jay Leno only sleeps 4 hours. I have a hard time believing that. But if I had his money, I would be up 20 hours a day spending it as well. So, okay. So we're doing pretty good so far, right? That was a tough one. I set that question up really tough. So I'll make this a little easier. This is a true false. So you got to remember two people. All right? Here we go. The American Medical Association has stated it's a good habit to add omega-3 fatty acids to your diet. Ms. Blaine, yes, true or false?
True.
It's true, yes, absolutely, yes. Now, I don't really know what omega fatty 3 acids are. My guess is that they don't taste so good, and that's why we don't eat them, but we should be. So you go ahead and you order you a big plate of that, and you'll be better off for it. That's a healthy habit, all right? Healthy habits.
I think it's bacon.
Is it? Okay. My guess is fish, right? Fish stuff. Yeah, I like fish. All right, here we go. This is our last one. You're doing a great job, too. I'm really, and you're on your feet. This is awesome. Change is just coming. This is awesome. The American Medical Association has listed three of these habits as healthy habits for reducing stress. Okay, three of them are good. One of them is not so good, or ain't even on the list. I put it in there. Who was first, Jake?
Andrew,
what do you think it is?
A, B, and D.
Wrong. Next.
It was first and the next.
All right, Mr. James?
Pet your dog.
Eh. They say that reduces stress. Pet your dog. Can you believe that? Who was next, Jake?
Bill.
Bill? Wrong. One of them's wrong, not three. Next. Dean. Chew gum. I can't believe I had to little Dean. That's terrible. No, chew gum. Chew gum's good. Reduces stress. We're down to two, man. You can't. Let's see if they got a 50-50 shot.
Mrs.
Flown, what do you think it is? No, the three of them are good. One's bad. All right.
Jenny.
Go to the mall is the answer. Go to the mall. Yeah, here you go. You can give that. Now, yeah, I think you knew. I can't believe it. If you've ever tried to mow my lawn, or should I say mow my rocks, then you would know that doesn't help you with stress. That just makes me more stressful. Yeah, these are healthy habits. You guys did a good job. Big hand for yourself on the healthy habit contest. Oh, we're right into the thick and the meat of the word here, aren't we? All right, here we go. We're going to get into it. I have wondered, as we're talking about this journey with Jesus, this walk with Jesus, and I've been pondering this for months now as we're working on it, I said, how were these disciples, how were they able to go on a 3.5-year journey with Jesus and not drive each other crazy? Think about it, 13 men walking around for 3.5 years with very little money, no travel itinerary, no lodging arrangements, and to top it all off, these men came from diverse backgrounds. Couple that with the basic truth that everybody makes mistakes, the basic truth that everybody has some kind of annoying habit. They say everyone is somebody else's weirdo, and I believe it. And that every single day, these 13 men were scrutinized and judged everywhere they went. Yet, they kept their cool with one another. They kept their relationships alive. Well, I believe the book of Proverbs offers you and me some solid practices, some healthy habits, if you will, and that these will keep a group of 13 or even a church family intact, and they will keep us healthy. Now, please note, this is not an exhaustive list. These are not the only things you do to keep healthy relationships. But I think as you look at these and see, though they seem like simple truths, they're very difficult for us to live out, yet they're needed to be healthy. We need God's help to actually live these out. So let's dive in and see exactly where we are supposed to be either thick or thin. Each of these has the word thick or thin in it. We have to see which one we're supposed to be. Here it is, Proverbs 19:11. I love these. These are great verses for memorization. Great memorization verses. If you're looking for a verse to memorize, these are great. 19:11, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. This verse, gang, tells us to look on the outside and see what kind of skin we should have. Let me ask you, should we be thick-skinned or thin-skinned?
Thick-skinned,
absolutely. Habit number one, develop thick skin. Now, my brother Jay used to say to me, Drew, don't take the hurt. Don't take the hurt. Now, what he meant was if something gets said to you or something gets done to you, don't immediately jump to letting it hurt you. This trait of being thick-skinned will save you hours and days and even years of pain that you needn't go through at all. Now, for some reason, gang, our society doesn't promote or applaud this type of attitude. Maybe it's just a Northeast mentality, which I am from here, but it is more common for us to guard against ever being wronged. We like that, right? Don't ever get wronged. It's way more common for us to fight against any possible slander against us. And it's way more common for us up here not to accept any ill treatment. That's more important to us than being thick-skinned. Now, this principle doesn't differentiate between someone who's trying to hurt us or someone who's not trying to hurt us. We just learn to not take these things as an offense. We do best, gang, by believing the best and absorbing the whole thing. Just absorb it. Let me offer you a couple of scenarios with two possible endings, okay? I'm going to give you a scenario. I'm going to give you two possible endings. Here's the scenario. Johnny is at a play date at Tommy's house, and the moms are watching them play. So Johnny's mom, Tommy's mom, watching them play. Tommy's mom, in the middle of a long conversation, says, "Wow, Johnny's shirts and shorts look like a rag bag on him." Okay? That's what got said. You like that, huh, Keanu? Liana. You got that? Here's the two scenarios. This is the two outcomes. You let me know. Johnny's mother laughs and says, "I know, but those are his favorites, and he won't let me throw them away." A, that's A. B, Johnny's mom is totally offended, and after the day, never has anything to do with Tommy's mother again. All right? A was, "I know, these are his favorites, but he won't let me throw them away." B, "I'm offended. After today, never speak to the person again." Which scenario is the Bible telling us to live?
A.
A. Guess which one happened in real life?
B.
B happened in real life. I didn't make it up. True story. Just the names were changed to protect the innocent, Aaron. This is good stuff. Told you. Relationship ended. By the way, Johnny's mother never found out what the word rag bag meant. She never asked. Tommy's mother could have been being rude, or she could have meant it as a term of endearment. Who knows? The Bible says, don't worry about it either way. Don't worry about it. Be thick-skinned. Let it go. Believe the best of your friend. Want another scenario? You want another one, don't you, James? These are good. These are good. Here you go. Joe tells Bob, "Okay, I'll call you." But Joe never gets a call from Bob. So A, Bob doesn't get a call, so he just calls Joe himself and asks if he wants to go out. That's A. He doesn't get a call, so he calls him. Get it? B, Bob takes offense and refuses to contact Joe. Which does the Bible want us to do? Hey, you didn't get a call. Something happened, right? Guess which one they lived out in real life? My buddy Bob. Yeah, he's the end of the relationship, done. Over something that simple. Gang, I have two very long friendships in my life. And I would say that this attribute is the reason for it. I can say to my friend, "Your hair looks like a flock of seagulls attacked it." And they will laugh and say, "I know, I'm a mess." One of them can say to me, "You wear a clip-on tie on your fire department uniform?" And I would say, "Yup, I love the clip-on." We could have and should have offended each other hundreds of times with silly, dopey comments. But we didn't. That's because we're thick-skinned. Ah! Wave it off instead of, how dare you? Gang, people are going, now get this, people are going to say things that are hurtful to you. More often, things that can be misconstrued as hurtful will get said. Friends, they can only hurt us if we let them. If we want to live healthy and we want to live carefree, we have to develop thick skin. 13 men walking around for 3.5 years, talking nonstop, stinking much of the time. Did you ever see your feet after you get home from Warren County Fair after you've worn sandals all day? That's what they dealt with every day, multiplied. They certainly would have had moments that they could bust the relationship with each other, but they didn't. And here they had God standing right next to them, probably whispering these kind of proverbs to them. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Good verse? Good healthy habit number one. The key to long-term health and peace, the healthy habit, is being a church body and staying a church body. The life skill to long-term relationship is to be thick-skinned and not thin-skinned. Healthy habit number two, Proverbs 12:1. To learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. Healthy habit number two. Which should we avoid, gang? Being thick-headed or thin-headed? Thick-headed. Avoid being thick-headed. Write it down. Gang, here's what I have to say on this. Thick-headed, stubborn, proud, unteachable, defiant people don't get it, won't get it, and don't want it. Being teachable and being correctable is actually one of the core values, one of the core values that we adhere to here on our church leadership team. This is a healthy habit that we expect in leaders. Now, don't get me wrong. No one likes being told that they're wrong. No one really likes that. But the Bible says to learn, you must learn to love correction. The life skill we need to embrace is moving past our insecurity issues and start valuing the instruction and correction of a friend. Proverbs 27:6 says this, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I cannot tell you how many times one West Virginian has had to say to another West Virginian, hey, that road that you're on, that's not a good one, man. Or, you're doing something that I need to warn you about. Or another, I'm seeing something in you that I don't think is good. Or the last, man, you blew it, but I'm here to let you know and help you through it. To learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. From the Message, same verse. If you love learning, you love the discipline that goes with it. How short-sighted to refuse correction. The New Century Version. Anyone who loves learning accepts correction. But a person who hates being corrected is stupid. I have told this story before, and I live this. My Fooge moment, my buddy, my friend, the guy I love, my cousin who helped me stay on the straight and narrow when I first became a Christian, we had a moment like this, and I call it my Fooge moment, and I tell other people to have Fooge moments, where we were laying on the front porch of his house at night in his screened-in porch, and I slept over, and we were in sleeping bags, and he says, how about we tell each other what we don't like about the other one? And the Fooge said that to me. And I thought, all right, he goes, I go first. And he told me what I was doing that wasn't good. And that night, I saw it clearly. And that night, I stopped doing it. It wasn't a hard, super hard thing to change. It was just an attitude I had of being negative over anything and everything that someone brought to me. Sometimes you need to have someone come to you and give you that correction. Thank God he did that. I'm still waiting for my turn. It's been 30 years. I'm still waiting to go back on that porch. My turn. I don't know him very well now, but I would have loved to have given him his Pastor Drew moment. And he can have those the rest of his life. Okay. Now, our last healthy habit for keeping relationships strong is our third one from Proverbs 17, 16 is this. Why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price of wisdom since he has no heart for it? Oh, that's good. That's memorization stuff right there. Why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price of wisdom since he has no heart for it? This is an interesting proverb, for in it we see someone wanting to obtain wisdom. That's what the first part's talking about. They want to obtain wisdom. They want to obtain counsel. They want to obtain instruction. They want it so much that they're willing to pay for it. The problem is, in the second part of the verse, that this person seeking the truth lacks the wherewithal and lacks the gumption and lacks the desire to actually implement it and live out that counsel. Healthy habit number three is this. Be in the thick of the battle to change. Gang, here's a truth. Difficult problems are going to require difficult solutions. You get that? Difficult problems are going to require difficult solutions. If solutions were easy, then it would be an easy problem. When we seek change, when we seek change in a situation or in ourselves, the wisdom and counsel we receive will require effort. It will require sacrifice, even pain on our side. Change is not quick, and it's not easy, and change is not free. It will include mishap. It will include challenges. It will include exhaustion. And change will only come through determination, resolve, and stick-to-itiveness. That is how, with God's help, we will get the results we are looking for in change. It's going to be a process that requires effort. I built my house 14 years ago. I did it as best I could, but I also tried to do as inexpensive as I could. I made wise choices on areas I felt I needed to spend money, and I tried to be careful where I didn't think we needed a lot of money. One of the things I saved money on was I never put in an island counter in the kitchen. Didn't put an island. I have a big kitchen, but I have no island, no center island. And my wife has always wanted a center island. So I want to change that situation. I want to change the fact that I don't have a center island and I want a center island. I want that change to happen. So we started the process. Kelly started looking. We've started to figure out this is very expensive. They're very expensive. So guess what kind of countertop she chose? Let's see. Cheap is Formica, which is what I have in the rest of the house. Granite isn't. Guess what she chose? Granite. Right. So she wants a granite countertop. So we start this process. Well, granite countertop is going to cost me close to $1,000. But that's okay. I went and Kelly went on the internet, and Kelly found this place that's about 2 hours away in Pennsylvania down by King of Prussia, and they sell beautiful island countertops, granite countertops, 36 wide by 78 long for $350. That's good. So I'm going to do this. I want this change to happen, right? No more, no center island. I want a center island. I want this change to happen. So I called the number. Now, let me do this right. I had a difficult time understanding the person on the other end, and they had a difficult time understanding me, if you know what I mean. We couldn't quite connect language-wise. But that's okay. Eventually, I thought I heard on the other end, you're okay to come here tomorrow between 9 and 11 and look at these countertops that I have. Great. Get in the pickup truck. It's only 2 hours away, and gas being so cheap these days, that's no problem. Driving 2 hours in the truck to go get this countertop and start this process of change, which I want change. So we get there, and there's nobody there. So it's a warehouse, and it's like, okay, when I get out of the truck, you lock all the doors, And I'll look around. I call. I get this person's wife on the phone. That was even worse, trying to understand. So this isn't going so good. This is difficult. But she promised someone would show up. Well, lady does show up. She opens up the place. Beautiful countertops. Gorgeous countertops. She says, oh, you want to take today? I said, very much so, I want to take today. I slide them in my truck, right? Oh, no, no. Break, lay down, break, stand up. Stand up in my truck. Ah, yeah, weigh 350 pounds. 350 pounds. Now, I curl a little less than that. But I gotta get this countertop. She says, Dad, okay, I have pallets, I have some wood, I have screws, I have screw guns. You good with it? I'm good with that. Give it to me. So I got Joe Kruger with me, got my buddy, got the crew with me. So we're out there. We're building this thing. All I want is the center island, right? Now I'm doing this stuff. So I gotta get the center island, and we build this thing. She calls her husband because no can pick that thing up. He comes down, very nice, and all of a sudden they got a forklift out with this special thing that holds it, whoop, up in the air, whoop, out to the truck. Okay, come on, put it in. Luckily, I had all my motorcycle straps with me. I always keep them, because you never know, you find a good motorcycle you need to bring home. So, but it wasn't that motorcycle. So we put it on there, me and Joe, and said, okay, careful. No crack, $350 countertop, right? Okay, so we put this thing in, and I built it, and I don't know, it didn't look that great, the thing we built, but it looked like it was going to work. So we put it in there, and I start strapping, and Krug, he's on the other, he's strapping, and we're going in, the guy comes out, he's helping us strap, we get this thing strapped up, pushing a truck over, this thing's great, never going to move, this is awesome, this is wonderful. So I got this countertop, we go, $350, I'm going, this is great, I'm going to create change. Change is going to happen, a little bit of work so far. But a lot of work so far, but it's going to be okay. Going down the road, and like I said, one of the things that's going to happen is I wrote down mishap. That's going to happen in change, isn't it? Uh-huh. Did great going around the first turn. For some reason, going down the straightaway towards the turnpike, thump. What was that? I look in the rearview mirror. It's gone. It's no longer standing up. Now, I got to get to Cody's baseball game. Got everything going on, a million things going on. So I pull over, and Krug, he's the best. Joe Krug, he's the best. He jumps the bat. He knows. Pastor Drew's probably ready to explode. So I just be helpful. I really was okay. But I get in the back. I'm waiting to see. It's not broken. So we picked it back up. And I said, all right, I think I know what we did wrong. Let's strap it this way. Okay. So then we get it all strapped up, and Kelly says, well, there's a Lowe's right up the street. Can we go look at cabinets? Of course, dear. I'm not worried about the two-hour trip home, get this thing home. No, let's look at cabinets. So we went in there. I said, look, I need three cabinets, 78-inch. Oh, no, 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 sir. You need cabinets, special ones, because that's very heavy. You got to have plywood cabinets. You need, three cabinets. You need filler strips. Don't forget, you got to have a panel on the one side because we don't finish the back. This change is starting to get a little rough. You don't, after you put that panel on the back where your feet are going to go, then you're going to need side strips, and then you need strips around the back. This change is getting rough. So I was able to talk Kelly out of buying any cabinets for right now. So I said, let's just get this thing home. So we tried to get it home, and you know how it is now. Now I'm scared to death. Every bump, every curve, this is a horrible two-hour ride home. Just keep looking in the mirror, looking in the mirror, looking in the mirror. Finally, we pull into my driveway. Ooh, I back it up. I got to get this monster off. 350 pounds don't sound like much, and 350 pounds probably wouldn't be too bad if it had a bunch of handles, like we were carrying in a trampoline, you know, well, everybody get around, come on. No, this thing's got to go in straight up, so I'm on one end, Joe Kruger's on the other, Cody's on this side in the middle, and Kelly's in the other, and here we go, this ugly-looking centipede walking around with this crazy 350-pound thing, but that's okay, we're going to make it, you got to go in the front door and show them, Miss Shanda. It's there. It's in the house. It's cool. We made it. All right? It's there. That is it. So part one, to get change in that kitchen, is done. The countertop is home. Beautiful granite countertop. They were complaining, maybe it's a little too thin. Maybe they make. I said, you want a thicker one? Are you crazy? I can't even carry that thing. It's an inch and a quarter thick. All right, and then Kang, you know what? I will put that amount of effort into changing my kitchen table. I will do that. I want that kitchen table. I will put that kind of effort in. But would I put the same kind of effort into changing the pride in my life? Would I put that kind of effort into breaking a bad habit that I have? Am I willing to go through all that effort to change a habit? Am I willing to put that kind of hard effort in all that crazy day into trying to fix a trait or a mannerism or an attitude in my life that doesn't please God and that's bringing my life down? You see, change is not quick and it's not easy and it's not free. And when you try to change, it will include mishap. It will include challenges and it will include exhaustion. Change will only come, gang, through determination and through resolve and stick-to-itiveness. And with God's help, the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us, we can then get the desired result we're looking for. Westbridge, the size of our church doesn't matter. The location of our church doesn't matter. The wealth or lack of wealth in our church doesn't matter. It's the health of our church family that does matter. The are we listening for God's direction, being healthy. Are we following wherever God wants us to go, being healthy. Are we doing that? Are we loving all those God's called us to love? Are we losing all the thick-headedness? Are we loving and serving each other, looking for and hearing the best in one another, trading in a thin skin for a thick one? And are we growing ourselves and are we growing others more and more into the likeness of God, engaging into the thick of the battle to change what God wants to change in our life? So that we can look more and more like Jesus. That, gang, is what matters. We need to keep developing healthy habits. We need to keep developing godly life skills. And we need God's help to do it. I'm going to ask the band to come back and the worship team to come back and give you an opportunity to say, Lord, come in. Enter into my life in a bigger way. Help me make the changes I need to make. Help me become what you want me to become. Where I'm hard-hearted, break my hard heart. Make me soft. Make me what you want me to be. Where I have attitudes, habits, all those things that need to change, show me one at a time, and let's get going on them. Give me that Fooge moment if I need to have it, and help me become more like you. But Father, will you please come and make the change?